Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone. And we are now going to be speaking with our friend and colleague, Kevin Clark, who is a senior editor and chief correspondent at America Magazine. He's also, quite conveniently for our needs today, the author of a book, Oscar Romero, Love Must Win Out. Kevin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me and for plugging the book so well.
No problem.
Liturgical Press, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. Available wherever books are sold.
Wherever fine books are sold. And my book.
So, Kevin, we're talking a little bit about, at the top of the show, of Oscar Romero being officially named a martyr. And I think for some people who know about his life and his death, they might be surprised to learn that he hasn't been considered a martyr all along. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about how this decision kind of came about.
Well, you know, I have to confess I'd be dealing with a little speculative sure. information here about the inner workings of the Curia, both and the inner workings of the Episcopal Conference in El Salvador, which obviously had some say in the pronouncement of martyrdom. I think the people of El Salvador have made their decision a long time ago about the sainthood of Oscar Romero and the verity of his martyrdom. He was declared a servant of God in 1997, but the issue of his martyrdom has been held up for a very long time, decades, over whether or not he could be described as a martyr for the Church. In other words, was he killed because of, as they say, odium fide, in hatred of the faith or the Church? Or was his death merely the result of a political assassination?
So why don't you tell our listeners who may not know a little bit about what exactly happened and what was going on in the country at the time?
Well, the death of Romero really was sort of a tragically pivotal moment for the country of El Salvador. He probably was the last chance they had at averting a widespread civil war. I mean, there had been years of violence, increasing violence, and he was doing his best to form a bridge between the forces of economic liberation of the underclass and the upper class that he also tried desperately to serve towards the end. And with his assassination, I believe there were certain elements within the economic aristocracy of El Salvador and the military establishment who thought, well, if we kill this bishop, we can put an end to all this murmuring and mumbling and grumbling within the Catholic Church, which they blamed for fomenting a lot of the unrest in the countryside. It had the opposite effect, of course. It sort of became the deluge moment where a threshold was crossed and all sorts of horror began afterwards.
And he was assassinated while saying Mass.
Saying Mass, it's sort of the legendary depiction of it is him at the moment of transubstantiation, blessing the Eucharistic moment. But that's probably a little more poetic than actual. He was about to begin the Eucharistic prayer, however.
And so the issue is that usually, I mean, when we think of the martyrs, we think of first century Rome, we think of the Elizabethan persecutions, you know, where people are killed because they refuse to renounce their faith or mm-hmm. they refuse to renounce a doctrine of the faith. And so here he was standing up for the social gospel of the faith, right?
Yeah.
And so this was a little bit of a different situation, and people were trying to figure out, okay, this seems like a part of that tradition, but at the same time, it's something kind of new.
Yeah, I think like Rutilio Grande, who was murdered but martyred before him, arguably, Romero integrated towards the end of his life, fully integrated what you might call the social gospel, the social justice tradition, of the Church, with his responsibilities as the Episcopal leader of the San Salvadorian Church, and you know, for him, there wasn't a distinction to be made. It was not a compromise. It was a fully embraced, comprehensive understanding of what being a modern Catholic was, in coherence with the Vatican II documents and the documents that were emerging from the Latin American Church from Medellin and Puebla. he felt like what he was doing was what the gospel call was, what the church calls us to do on behalf of the entire people of God. And he knew he was putting his life at risk because of that faith.
Kevin, in your research for this book, I wonder if you found anything about Oscar Romero that surprised you, anything that you found kind of new and exciting about his life.
Well, I guess not a complete surprise. I did know that he was something of a culture warrior in the late 60s and early 70s. I didn't realize how vehemently he was a culture warrior. He was sort of at the forefront of the local church in trying to tamp down the liberation theologians, the priests who were influenced by liberation theology. He found this to be a dangerous trend, which is why it's somewhat ironic that was one of the reasons his martyrdom and his cause for sainthood has been held up for so long, because people were worried that it was a plug for liberation theology when this sort of movement was not as popular in Rome as it had been in certain other eras. He was very much personally worried about liberation theology and tried his best to kind of forestall the movement of it in the way it was perceived in the countryside and the way it was enacted in the countryside. But I think towards the end of his life, when he was Archbishop of Santiago de Maria, I believe is the name of the diocese, he once again was in a daily confrontation with the realities, the socio-political realities of life in El Salvador. And he came to realize that this was not a Marxist threat. This was merely the gospel being brought to the lived reality of the people of his community.
Was it a kind of cumulative experience where he continued to see these things and it led to a kind of change of heart, change of mind on his part? Or was there a galvanizing event?
I think both of those things were happening. I think it's clear towards the end of his tenure in Santiago, he was already writing things that, you know, you arguably could say this is right out of the liberation theology handbook, mm-hmm. If such a thing exists. At the same time, he remained worried, and towards the end, in fact, was making reports to Rome about some of the Jesuits that he was a little worried about and some of the things they were actively engaged in. But I think in terms of a galvanizing moment, they talk about Rutilio's miracle, that the night of Rutilio Grande's assassination, a different person seemed to emerge. Mm-hmm. And I think there's enough eyewitness accounts of that day to suggest that I think there's a clear, as you're saying, there's a culmination happening. He's mm-hmm. learning more. He's meeting again. Now, to say that Romero didn't understand poverty to me is absurd. He had certainly been working for years within the upper classes of Latin American society, but he emerged from the poorest of the poor. His home community was as poor as you could possibly have in an extraordinarily poor country. And he was intimately familiar with the deprivations and cunning involved with surviving as a peasant in El Salvador. But he, as a bishop, was reintroduced to that reality late in life. And I think when Rutilio was assassinated, he realized what was at risk here and what he had to put on the line in order to see the justice be done in El Salvador. And really, to him, it was not just the justice be done, but that this was the last chance to he saw the war coming, mm-hmm. and he thought, if we do not respond to the suffering, to the cry of the poor now, all hell is going to break loose. And that is exactly what happened after he was martyred.
Kevin, in the dedication of your book, you mentioned that you chose to name your son after Oscar Romero. His middle name is Romero.
Almost. Well, my wife kind of kiboshed the full Oscar Romero. He was almost Oscar Romero Clark. He became Owen Romero Clark, which I think has a nice Celtic ring.
Has a good ring to
it. Does, yeah. Ava de Valera was Spanish.
Yeah.
So it makes me think about, what about this man touched you so much that you wanted your son to sort of take on some of those qualities, or to look to this person for inspiration and his future faith life?
It carries an unending challenge to make me cry on the air.
That was
once again.
That is a really, really good question, and it never would have occurred to me to ask it, so I'm so glad that Carrie is here.
I think, as a young man, it was such a shock to me the day he was assassinated. I didn't know a lot about Central American life, economic realities of El Salvador. I did know what it meant to be raised Catholic, however, and I was so shocked to think that a Catholic, at the time the suspicion was, and proven to be true, that a military death squad arranged for his assassination. I couldn't believe that a Catholic soldier or a member of the military could kill a Catholic bishop. Mm. And that's a shock that's I guess over the years has been somewhat mollified by the horror show of history that's followed in its wake. But it was sort of a primal shock for me. So I started learning more about Romero right away, and he's been sort of a role model of courage. And I don't mean courage in sort of the he was a deeply fearful man. He was afraid of what was here you go, you're going to make me cry. Okay. he knew what was coming, and he was afraid of what was coming. He dealt with the physical reality of that fear on a daily basis.
Right.
And still managed to overcome it. So that's part of the reason.
Which is the very definition of courage, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And a real definition of courage.
And something you want your kids to emulate. Something we all want to emulate.
Yeah. And as I say, the examples of this courage that I think encourage our children to stay with the church, to see these heroic, the heroic embodiment of what faith can do
and
sometimes the tragic ends it could lead you to.
It's precisely why we have saints, right?
Exactly.
And just quickly, what has actually happened? What changed this week with the news from Rome?
Well, not much, really. We've heard that the Congregation for the Cause of Saints has now accepted, based on a recommendation of a panel of theologians, that Romero was died in because of hatred for the faith, in odium fidei. So that qualifies him for martyrdom, which means that basically, I guess, it gives him a jump start on canonization. His beatification does not require a miracle. He's already he's a step ahead, I guess, in the process.
Right.
So I don't want to say it's obvious, but it seems pretty clear that Pope Francis is keen on canonizing Oscar Romero. So I think we're going to see this process accelerate.
Met Romero?
I believe they might have met at a Latin American conference in the late 1960s. Again, I don't want to be quoted on that one, but I seem to recall reading that somewhere. But I do think Francis has experienced the same historical reality that Romero experienced. And in some ways, I think these European debates over whether he's tainted by Marxism are irrelevant to someone like Pope Francis, who has experienced the reality of the inequity of Latin America, Latin American life. And to them, it's beyond ideology. It's just a simple fact of experience.
And just this week, he said, this is the gospel. Don't mistake it for communism.
Yeah. Right? Well, he's experiencing some of the things that Romero experienced when he spoke on behalf of the poor. They attacked him as a Marxist, as a communist.
Right.
And Francis is doing the same. And unfortunately, history is some kind of awful replay sometimes, and we're hearing the same sort of rhetoric and the same sort of criticisms directed to the Pope.
Indeed. But he is also a man of courage, thanks be to God. And thanks to you, Kevin, for joining us. Kevin Clark is senior editor and chief correspondent for America Magazine. And you can read his writing online at americamagazine.org and every week in print.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.